Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great moment you've given us to worship you. And at this special time, Lord, we ask you to bless your message, bless your messenger, forgive him of his sins, and bless every heart that will listen to your word this morning. Give us this heart of flesh that we may be sensitive to your word, and let us be not hearers only, but doers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, that's where Paul wrote to Timothy. He says, "This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work." He says, "A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but he must be patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? He must not be a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of all which are without, lest he fall into the reproach and the snare of the devil." And this morning, we're going to see, he must not be greedy or filthy lucre. I'm 48 years old, and I spent some time in the Navy, and I work as an electrician, and I've been working now for Dish Network for almost 6 years. I never call off one day for, like, calling sick or I cannot come. But this morning I almost called sick, Pastor Payne, because I said I have to put this message here in America. When I look at the definition, really it means love of money. It cannot be love of money. And I felt like calling sick would not be good for Pastor Payne. Somebody had to preach it. So I must let you know this is not an easy message. And I hope you don't stone me, because I'm just the messenger, okay? We are in America, and the lifestyle, it's like basically living the American dream. And really, all we're going to look at this morning is living life reality. I'm so thankful for this last song. I look, everybody was singing, "Lord, you more than enough for me." So that's it. If you have the Lord, you have more than enough. I heard it, and I hope there is a video to prove it. You were singing it. So don't blame me. The scripture, I think, really helped and resume everything for me this morning is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 10. It really make it simple. And anything else, all those pages, don't worry about them. I think if we have this one, we have it. Paul told Timothy, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Godliness, living a life that God is pleased with, and you are content, this is a great gain. Great gain. For the life reality, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Do I say that? The Bible says it. Isn't it true? We didn't bring anything. And when we go in, we are not going to take anything. If you see they put clothes on you or whatever, they're not going anywhere. Actually, before they put you in the coffin or whatever, you are already gone. It's just your body. It's dust. So having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. This means what it says. No reason to be trying to say, well, you know, it says that, but. Remember we talk about the but that count? There is no but in this one. It says you have food and you have raiment, be content. That's what it says. But they that will be rich. Let me stop a little bit here. They that will be rich. If you spend some time in this one right here, they that will be rich, they that will seek to be rich, voluntarily seeking after it. Their goal is to get rich. Okay? So when you read they that will be rich, it says they that set their goal to be rich fall into temptation. Because it's not something to seek after. The Bible says seek, but if you have to seek first, what do you have to seek? Kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what happened next? All the other things shall come. But they that will be rich, they are the one that set their goal to seek after riches. They will fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drawn men in destruction and perdition. This is true. This is reality. For the love of money is the root of all evil. A better translation is the root of all kind of evil. The love of money, and that's what we're talking about this morning, the love of money, not money itself, the love of it, okay? Which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And he's talking right here to the man of God. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Flee them. Run. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Those are the things you have to seek. You have to go after. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. We're talking about greediness this morning, love of money. The definition, having or showing an intense and selfish desire for something. We are showing an intense and selfish desire for money. I want. I must get. I'm on a journey of getting and getting. I want it. I must have it. And that's my goal. I must be rich. It starts with basic needs. You know, the basic needs like food and a place to stay, clothes to wear. But after you have that, it grows up into beyond that. Okay, you were happy with just having simple things to eat. It gets to a point where, no, I want, you know, a little more. You know, it's nothing wrong. You just want a little more. And then it grows into want. The things you needed. And you go, you have your needs, and then you want just a little more. And then it gets to a point you don't need anymore, you want. And then the next thing you know, it ends up with extravagance. You have enough to show off. The question is not how wealthy you are, but how content you are. That's what it is. I want to make that clear. Just because you have, or just because somebody have, that does this not a sign of greediness. You can find somebody who has nothing and more greedy for money than people who have. So it's not a question have or have not. Abraham, he was a rich man, but the Bible says through him all nations would be blessed. So the difference is what Pastor Penn usually talk about, being a cup or being a pipe. That's what it is about. When you are greedy, when you love money, you are just a cup. All you're doing, just putting it. There is no where else it's going to go. It's going to stay there. It's a cup. But he's talking about when you're not greedy, you are a pipe. It's just flowing. Abraham was a pipe. It's flowing. From Abraham, it goes everywhere else. So if you have it, it's not to stock it, it's to let it flow. Now, some will have more than others because you have big pipes, you have smaller pipes. Let's say in the city, for example, you have huge pipe carrying the water for the citizens. So it's huge pipe, but it's type with smaller pipe to go into each home, right? But even inside the house, you even have even smaller pipes to go to the kitchen, to the bathrooms, right? So it just depends how, but the more you let it flow, the bigger pipes God will continue to bless, because it's not the love of money. You have the money and the blessing is flowing through you. So I want to make that clear. If you have money, you don't feel like, my goodness, do I love money? Or you see somebody is blessed, you don't feel like, okay, this person must be greedy. It's not about that. It is about how you have it, and when you have it, how it flows. But I made it simple for me this morning by getting some marks of greediness. This way I make it easier on you and on me. And it's up to you to sincerely check yourself if you see any of those marks in you. And I would urge you to take that seriously, because love of money can get you into trouble. It is said the average of 15% of our waking time is spent on money. 15% of our time, we spend it on money. And how we're going to make it, whether finding a job or I don't know, but somehow in our mind, in our thoughts, in our speech, we talk about money 15% of our time. How we're going to spend it. How we can multiply it. How we can save it. I mean, it's all about money, 15% of your life. Now, I would like to ask you to check yourself to see, do you think more, or do you spend more time thinking about how to make money than how to do a good job, let's say at work, okay? Do you think about how to make more money, or whether to go to school to improve yourself, or to do a good job for a raise or whatever, or do you concentrate on, I want to be the best? And then the money comes. It's like the players, they're playing. Imagine if this guy is in the field all the thinking about, is there money? The money is there, it's coming. Just play, do a good job, your money is there. That's what happened to us. You do seek after the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything else is there for you. Check yourself to see if you have something in you that you never feel you have enough. You don't feel you satisfied. You always need a little more. Even your needs are covered, you have a little bit saved, but my goodness, you want a little more constantly. Check on that. And another thing to check on, it's like you take pleasure in living it. Whatever the little or more you, much you have, you take pleasure in living it. You want to show it. Okay, you may show it by the car you drive, by the house you live, or by the clothes you wear, or by the gifts you give. I don't know, but you just have to find a way to show you have money, to show you not like so-and-so. Check on that. And check also how hard it is for you to give it away. Check yourself to see, is it easy for you to give money? Or is it, oh man, I have to give you a 10 and then, well, it's $10, but I have to get one out of it. Let me give 9. Check that. Check if you are primarily a giver or a receiver. What excites you? What pump you up? Is it when somebody give you something and say, oh, man, yeah, I get this and that? Or is it when you receive or when you give? Check about that. If you are more excited when you are receiving, it might be something to check. There should be more joy giving. Even Jesus said there is more blessing in giving than receiving. And when you have the money, what do you plan to do with it? That's something to check. Do you preoccupy, are you being preoccupied on the next item online? It's like, okay, you already had this, you had that, but I have this one thing. I must have this, and I'm saving for it, you know. So that's what preoccupies your life, your time, the next one in line. And then needs all around you, you don't see them. You don't see the needs around you because you are too preoccupied because you have that next thing you have to get. Check that. Check about your excessive expenses. And I say, well, excessive, expensive, expending, excessive debt. Think about it. I believe most of us have debt. But let's check ourselves to see how did we get into that. Is it love of money? Is it because we went beyond of our means? Why did we even get there? Is it because we were showing off? Or is it because of your basic needs? In every rule, there is an exception. But just think about it. Why are you in debt for? Why am I in debt for? What brought me there? I know I shared that with you before, but, you know, being Haitian and living in America, I had to read a lot about American history. But when I hear people talk constantly about the 50s and stuff, like say they're talking about the hippies or the, I don't have a clue at those things. So I have to dig and search. But I came on that book, Rereading America. It really compiled everything together for me. It helped me out very much. And I read about the 50s. I read about the American dreams. And I read about some myth. And one of the myths is about America being a classless nation. Like there is no class. Everybody can make it. Everybody, you know, you work hard, you got it. But into the reality, 93% of America will never make it. Anyway, the best way they put it, it's if you are born, 93% of Americans are born in a class where they will not make it up. So the dream is, the clue they give, it's like if you, when you graduate high school, if you were not given the key of a BMW, you're not in the high class. That's the way to look at it. If you were not given for your 16th birthday or graduate high school, they don't give you a key of BMW, you are in the class where you should take it easy. Yes. So if you are now, you're going to say, okay, I know it's a country where we can move up, we can make it, prosperity or whatever, you're killing yourself and everybody around you. You are dreaming. Okay? Now, I take myself, because I tell you what, the message gets me first. I was the one preparing it. And I look at my situation. I look at my debt. I look at my financial problem I'm in. And I said, where and how did I get there? I get there because checking my income with my life, I should not live where I'm living now. But you know, you cannot offer to live. I mean, where I should be living, I should find a trailer park. Well, I'm not putting it down. I'm just telling you I should. I should go to a trailer park where I would be able to pay the house. And, you know, I would eat better. I would have gas in my car. I wouldn't have new car or whatever. I wouldn't be able to afford that. But at least I would have a little saving, and I would continue to do what God lays my heart to do. And to be honest with you, we were that close of doing it 2 years ago. After we had to move from one home to another, we were seeking, and every place we were, they asking us to give, to qualify for this place or whatever. I said, man, they asking you, your monthly income must be twice the, we could not do it. So after a while, we went to a motel. We put our stuff in the storage. So I said, Lord, I'm going to do it right. So I had a customer I work for. I do maintenance, and they have a little home somewhere in Virginia Beach. Decent, but my heart, I mean, that's not where I wish to live, you know? But that's where I should be living. So I agree with her. She said, okay, I'm going to live there. So I was waiting for her to evict somebody who were in the house who could not pay. And while I was waiting, Odie said, hey, where do you live now? I said, I'm homeless now. And he said, really, I have a house right across from my house. And then I get there without all these qualifications I needed to have Odie hook me up. But the reason why I felt like I wouldn't want to live everywhere, I'm raising the children. When you have kids, it's a little different. When you have young kids and where you live, that's where they have to go to school. It's really complicated. So you cannot do everything. There are circumstances you cannot. But the thing is, whatever your situation, think about why and how did you get there. So you get there because you want to live the American dream. You have the opportunity to buy a big house, a big car, then you get it. But remember, it's not yours. It's the bank's. It's a dream. It's not a reality. And if you would do it right, just get you whatever, and then you can live better, and then save, and you probably get even more than what you kill yourself for. So the thing is, if we don't go back to reality, we will just have it even hard. Because growing up is not easy. And you're going to be slave, like the Bible says, Proverbs 22:7, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. You will be servant, slave to the bank, to whoever you are. And it's not an easy life. Sometimes you want to just relax and you cannot, you feel sick, you don't feel like going to work, but you have to because, you know, too much. You know you probably have the greediness sign in you, blood in you, if you are piling riches. What the word, I think in English is hoarding. You're piling. You don't know why, but you're just piling things. You don't know why. You say, well, you never know. One day. But I want to go with you to Exodus 16. And this is the story where God sent manna to the people. Verse 16, this is the things which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man of them which are in his tent. And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. This is what life supposed to be about, especially for Christians. Supposed to be one day at a time. It doesn't make any difference what you have over. It can be gone in a minute. Does that mean you're not going to have over? There are exceptions. Remember if the Sabbath day, he said, take for 2 days. And those who piled up more than what they're supposed to do, they all went bad. And this is a true reality. Don't try to, you know, to paint it and to put other color in it. That's exactly what it is. We have to live by faith. One of the color we give to hoarding, to excuse, it's like good stewardship. We use that a lot to prove that how we cannot be fooled, we have to be wise and then do such. We use that a lot to cover hoarding. We need to be good stewards. But don't use it as an excuse. There is this illustration that, you know, I hear it. It's a story, not a real thing, but I think it will help us, and most of you probably already know it. This rich man, again, it's a story, not something that happened, but could happen and happen every day. This rich man was about to die, but he thought he could take his money with him. You know, he thought it was something possible, so he called his pastor. He gave the pastor a few millions. He said, "Pastor, when I die, you know, put this in my casket." You know, and he called his doctor. He said, "Doctor, these are the few millions, and please put this in my casket for me." And he called his lawyer. He said the same thing. So he died. And the pastor, the doctor, the lawyer were confessing about what they really did. And the pastor said, "Well, I know, you know, he would agree with me what I did. I gave it to the church for the needs. I gave it to my church for the needs and for mission works or for whatever. I think that's a wiser move or whatever." This is just an excuse greediness. That's all it is. It's not being good steward. The pastor wants the money for his church. The doctor says, "Well, I gave it to my hospital because so much research need to be done. Even his cause of death need to be, you know, investigated so we can treat more people." Give excuse, because he must find an excuse for the money to be in the hospital because he had interest in that. And then the lawyer himself said, "Well, you know, a few millions in cash, that was, you know, a heavy load, you know. So I wrote him a check. I wrote him a check," so make it simplify things. So all this is to tell you we can use good stewardship or other things just to, the love of money can cause us to do all that without even knowing. We're finding a cause, a reason. But the Bible says, "Lay not up treasure for yourself upon the earth." When you're reading the Bible, when you're reading these scriptures, yes, it's talking to you. And it means exactly what it says. Don't spiritualize it. Don't try, you know, to find excuse. Read it for what it is. In Matthew 6, he says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth." Now, we need to concentrate on lay not for yourselves. That's the key word, for yourself. You laying it up, but for yourself. Selfishness. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. Another thing to check, it's like where you spend your money. Because where your heart is, that's where your treasure is, right? That's where you spend your money. Check about, you know, just look about where you spend your money. Okay, let's say if you check, I don't know for you, I don't know, I hope there isn't anybody here, but I have a brother, he's a taxi driver. If you go to his car to see how many lottery tickets this boy have, why do you think he's buying all these tickets? He wants to win. So he can say, well, I want to win because if I win, Pastor, I will help your ministry. So we can find any excuse to say that's why we want to get. But really, in reality, we are laying up the treasure for ourselves. So where your heart is, if your heart is in money, you're going to spend on investment. You're going to, whatever you do, you're going to invest to get more. You're going to buy lottery tickets because you chance to have more. And that's where you're going to spend. Everything you're doing, even if you go to school. And it's sad if you go to school because you know, okay, if I go to school, you don't go for the knowledge or whatever. Oh, yeah, if I go this, I'll make so much money. That's how much they pay. That's not a good reason to go to school. Money should be your motivation. The education, the field you go to. And I understand that. I understand you don't want to go after school, don't get a job. But the money should not be what motivates you. And for whatever reason you give for it. No man can serve, verse 24, two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and money. You just cannot do both. You have to give up one for another. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubic unto his stature? And why take ye thought of raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Wherefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the devil thereof. Oh, it's easy for a pastor to preach this. Oh, it's easy for you just listen to it and say, yeah, this is just spiritual talk. But this is true. You cannot read this scripture and just pass over it. As any other scripture, you need to apply it. Psalm 127, I want you to look at this with me, verses 1 and 2. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. If you work hard to build a house, you will build a house. If you work hard to succeed, you will succeed. But the thing is, it says you succeed, but in vain. If you stay up to watch the city, I mean, you're doing a good job. But if it's not the Lord watching it, you're watching in vain because you're not going to help it. He says, in vain for you to rise up early, sit up late. Like it's like you take spend all your life in search of riches. All your life. And he says, but his beloved, the one who seek his kingdom and his righteousness, they are content with what they have. And they are blessed. They can sleep. I think it's important that we check ourselves sincerely to see if we don't have any trait, any attitude of greediness in our life, especially us leaders. Be content with what you have, Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Concentrate. Concentrate on what will last for eternity. And the one that will last temporarily, the Lord will supply. That's God's job. So as leaders, as potential elders, we must not be greedy for money. Must not. Why? Because if you are greedy, it will affect your ministry. The way you govern your life, that's the way you're going to lead the ministry. Now, you will have a church where you're saving money for no reason, just to say you have so much. You will not be a pipe. A church is not a bank. A church is a pipe of blessing, where blessing should be flowing. I remember, I don't know, years ago, I think it's since 16th Bay, Pastor Thomas always gives this illustration about this poor man, a man in a neighborhood. He was poor, almost homeless, but he did have a home. And he died. Everybody, you know, thought he was poor. And then I think the house was so ugly in the neighborhood, they had to take it down. And they find out this guy has been saving money inside his wall, everywhere. He had plenty of money, but he was saving it, and he died poor. He could not even get a blanket. That's not the church's. The church is not there to save for that. The church is there to minister to people. And the same way God is sending blessing, it has to be going. It has to flow. The pipe must be clean, and the water is, or oil or gas, whatever it is, supplies, should flow easily. For ministry, for missionary works. And I will leave you with this scripture. And I think she should be the prayer for you and for me. Proverbs 37:9. The wise man asked God for two things. Says, two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. We don't want to be poor. We don't want to be so needy that we tend to steal. We tend to hate people who have. Or we tend to say, God, where are you? How come I'm so in this state? We don't want that. And that's not even a good testimony for God. That's why the Bible says, like, the church takes care of all its poor and then have enough for the outsiders. But at the same time, you don't want to be so rich that you become a fool and deny God. Our prayer should be, Lord, food and women, I'll be content. And whatever else you pour on me, Lord, it's just blessing that will be flowing. That's all it is about. But love of money will not let you do that. My prayer is that you don't take these scriptures as we used to. Take them as they are speaking to you and leave them. God bless you.
Amen. Let us stand to our feet. God Almighty, I thank you. Thank you for the challenge that we have been given today to not be greedy of filthy lucre, not to want what you don't want for us, to be content with what we have. And when we are blessed, to use it for your glory in a way that pleases you, that you can bless, and will lead others to you. And thank you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Today at 3:00.